Thank you, Brother Maxwell. I think that'll go along with the message very well tonight. Take your Bibles, if you would, and go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And for the tape room, the title tonight will be God's Vessels. God's Vessels. I did say that I would needed to make some announcements, kind of some things that was going to deal with the business of our church and just some things that are going on here in our ministry. But I don't want to address that now because that's all you'll think about and you won't listen to the message. I know how people are, amen? But let me just make sure I tell you right up front and at the beginning, I had a couple. No one came to me. Nobody asked me directly, but they asked my wife whether the announcement was that I wasn't going to be the pastor anymore. And so just let me, you ain't getting rid of me that easy, okay? Just let me tell you that. And so and she dispelled those rumors quickly. So it is not about me and anything like that. So if you were going to worry about that all the way through the service, or if you are upset and are ready to leave now, the door, the same door that let you in will let you out. Amen. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And Paul is writing to Timothy here, and he's trying to give instruction, but he really has a desire, and this is his son in the faith. He's giving him late instructions here in the book, but he gives us instructions for every Christian that will listen, everybody that'll tune in to what he's saying. It's not just good for Timothy, but it's good for every Christian. We're going to be looking from about verse 15 down through verse 20, 21 there, but I want you to see we're really going to pick the message up, but I feel like the context is important. Anytime, even when he begins in verse 15, he tells him to study because he needs to rightly divide. Anybody that's worth his salt, that's going to be a preacher, needs to not only preach right doctrine, but needs to preach it out of the right place. He not only needs to, again, because anything that's not done decently in an order, or if it's preached in the wrong place, even though it's the right doctrine, will bring confusion in the life. It doesn't edify and build up. It, even though it sounded right, preached from the wrong place, will not build a sound, solid foundation. And so here we see that he's trying to invest that in the preacher boy, but for every one of us, we can take from this passage, it's important for us to study. It's important for us not just to hear the word preached fall on good soil and for us to own it, but for us on a daily basis to search the Word of God, to study it for ourselves, and to hear what is preached during a week, but then study it out and see all the understanding part of it. Paul speaks much in the book of, and when he's talking to the Corinthians had lots of problems, and he deals with a lot of those things, but even when he's dealing with the church at Corinth, they want to do all the things. They're excited about all the spiritual gifts, but Paul constantly is speaking to them when they're talking about tongues. He said, it's better for you to speak 5 words that people can understand than to speak 1,000 in an unknown tongue. And it's important for us to realize that God wants us not only to study to show ourselves approved unto God, but most of the time that way it's the words that come out of us are sound words. They're words that help other people. They're words that we hide in our heart, and when they come out, they lay in a place where people can understand who we are. And there's no confusion about who is God's and who isn't. Here in this chapter, I want to begin reading, but let's pray before we get started tonight. Dear Lord, I pray that you'd help me tonight as we just, Lord, I preach what you laid on my heart, Lord, the message that you got for your people. Lord, every one of us need to be vessels of God. And again, saved and know that we're a vessel. But God, more than that, I want to be a vessel unto honor. I want to be one that here as he is instructed, Lord, to constantly keep myself purged and sanctified close to you, Lord. I pray that you just help us now as we open your word and we study it, Lord. Help it to fall and be understandable where folks can take it to heart and put it to practice in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. In 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I want you to see there, and I'm just going to teach through these first few verses so you can get some context, but the big word that you need to take out of verse 15 is study. All right, you need to, if we don't study, there will be a day that we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and we will be ashamed of the time that we spent saved and we didn't study. He says, to study, to show thyself approved, a workman, look, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, what if somebody asks you out? You may not always feel that way, as I'll ask somebody else when you were young, but if you've been a Christian for any amount of time and somebody asks you a question and you don't have an answer for it, even though you say, let me study that out, you can say those things, but sometimes you have that little bit of I wish I could have answered that right here and now. I wish I had that settled in my own heart and my own spirit. I wish I had studied that before I was asked the question. Able to rightly divide the word of truth. Now, we realize that Timothy's the preacher, and I know that I would say in the level of the Christian age and where you're at, there would be different levels of shame. But simply put, one of the things I'd take from it is that study, study, study. We just left school, and we're thinking, man, you know, school is a weariness of the flesh. It's studying all these different things. But the word of God is not a book that should weary you in its study. Now you say, well, what about Bible college? All right, now, I'm not talking about Bible college. Bible college, them mean professors down there. They not only make you read and study the Word of God, but then they make you write a paper about it. They make you come and sit and preach at you and all that kind of stuff. So that I get there's a weariness of the flesh in that, but just sitting down and reading the book, all right, studying the Word of God, that should be an encouragement to you. It may be reproving at times where you don't get excited and take a lap. It may not be a time where tears fall from your eyes for joy because of what God did for you, but sometimes He shows you there may be tears of repentance because of what the Bible teaches you and tells you about how you need to, hey, that's something that's still in my life, I need to get out. But this word of God ought to be something when we study, it doesn't wear us out. All right? It builds us up. The study of the word of God will prove out to be edification. There's a foundation that Jesus Christ has laid, and this book will build our life up on that foundation. We need to lay and get on the foundation of salvation and then build and grow from there. He says in verse number 16, because now he's going to go through this process of people who didn't study. Or if they studied, they studied in the wrong place because they didn't study the Word of God. They took their own opinions. He's going to talk about those that are going to use profane and vain babblings. Look at the scripture. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Do you know that there are folks that they'll twist and they will not rightly divide? See, the context is rightly dividing. Then there's other people that take a one verse, pull it out of context, and they'll tell people that they can lose their salvation. And that's not what the Word of God teaches. You cannot rightly divide the scripture. And if you take the one verse somebody tries to take and twist around and tell you that you could lose salvation, that person didn't read the verses that came before or the verses that came after. Because if you read it in context, you would realize that you're saved, and it wasn't anything you did to get it, but Jesus that died for you, and it's Him that's keeping it. Amen and amen. But shun, study, and shun. There are things we need to look into, and there's other things we need to block out. We live in a day and age of information. There's some information you don't need. Let me say it to parents. There's some information you need to protect your kids from. Embrace the truth. Get them in church. Take them to the right places. But keep them away from places. You say, what's harder than it's ever been? Absolutely. So grow a backbone and stand up for your kids while you still got them in your home. Because one day, if you're not careful, because you didn't have strength to say no when they needed it, you'll reap for that for years to come. He not only shuns some things, but he says, why do I need to shun them? In verse 17, and their word will eat. If I let their word stick, he said, the word will eat as doth a canker, of whom this is Hymenaeus. He names two guys. I mean, Paul is not ashamed to name people. I could go to Naaman tonight, but we may run over time if I'm not careful. There's a lot of people I could name. Just this week, somebody else, I was just like, you know, again, breaks my heart to hear the testimony that they're not faithful, that they're not walking in the truth. But this word, I want you to see this. I want you to see shun, and then watch out, because it'll stick and it'll snack on you. It'll not just snack on you, but it will eat at your foundation. It'll rob you of your joy. It'll rob you of unity with your church and your pastor and those that love you and are trying to teach it. Because those wrong teachings will sit and just gnaw at you. Because you don't understand yet. You haven't built a foundation, and it's all the time eating. That's why you got to shun them. He goes on, and again, this is teaching, but I want you, that canker there, that word is that's translated from a word that we get our word gangrene from. So the word itself just means it. Once it takes hold, it don't let go. It keeps eating and eating, and after it's done with the flesh, it'll get down to the bone and get in the bone itself. And listen, I'm here to tell you, you know, all the things I've heard men talk about that they got when they were in the military and things that nobody wanted. I mean, some of them took years for them to find out, but gangrene wasn't one of them. It's something that started eating, and they tried to take care of it as fast as they could because it was a flesh-eating disease that would get after you. Listen, that spiritually speaking, this idea of shunning profane, vain, and babblings, things that are not true, it'll get in your, if you let it get hold of you and stick on you, it will begin to snack on you until you don't even realize what's happening. All of a sudden, there you feel like you just been eat on and chewed up and spit out. You say, I don't even understand what happened. All you had to do is just pause. Instead of studying the truth, this is the thing. And I know that it sounds like I'm beating a dead horse, but this is the great, listen, rock music is still pulling people away. And we could talk about drugs and alcohol and everything else. But the great cancer of the fundamental world of our day is people not studying the Bible, but studying everybody else and everything else that isn't the truth. And it gets in, it poisons and eats them alive. And we wonder why they can't stick, why they can't stay, why they can't be what God wanted them to be. He goes on and he says, who concerning the truth have erred? If you're just wondering about vain and babblings, it's error. There's a man I know that wrote a book called Things That Are Different Are Not the Same. That's because it's truth or it's error. Amen. It's not somewhere in the middle of the road. Even if you change just a tiny little bit, it don't take a whole lot. And we're not going to take time tonight. But just the way we had the kindergarten class up here, and just the jot and tittles of the periods, exclamation points, and questions change every statement. They change the way we say it, the way we stand for it. Where we pause in a comma changes everything. We got to understand all that makes a difference. And in our lives, if we're not careful, we will say, well, that's just a little thing. No, it's truth or error. He calls out these two people, and then in verse 18 he says, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrowing the faith of some. Now, you may not think, there are a bunch of people on planet Earth, and especially some in fundamentalism, that do not preach eschatology or end times doctrine. But most of the errors, most of the perversion of doctrine are always related to what we believe about the resurrection. Every one of them. Go back to a place where you're dealing with the resurrection, current or future. You gotta be with the truth. Now the preaching. That was all. Stick, snack on. I didn't give you the last point. If you're not careful, you'll slip. You'll step away. There'll be people that concerning truth and error, they'll slip. But there's others that choose to step away. then it's encouraging from this point on. You got to know what was coming before, or else it's not as encouraging when you get after that. Then he uses this word that is unique here. It's very, again, we use it flippantly and probably don't even understand what the word really means. He uses the term nevertheless. The word itself means this isn't going to prevent anything. It actually means it's not going to stop anything that we had planned. Even though it's disappointing that there are others that won't go on with us, there are people who were once a vessel of honor or who are no longer a vessel of honor. I mean, he says all these things in the past. He goes, but nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. He says, not one thing, not one person, not one error, even though they're plenteous, even though, listen, at the back door today, a couple that visited our church stood there and said, preacher, we just wanted to give you greetings from Larry Hobbs. He loves your church, loves you, preacher, and he just wanted to say hi. We stopped in. We're heading to a big reunion thing for our family, and we wanted to be in church. And he said, if you're going to be that close, you better go to Landmark. He said it was encouraging. He said, sitting in here, he said, we wanted to encourage you to tell you there are folks that love you. And we were encouraged to be in a place. He goes, well, our little church in Palm Coast that we're trying to get going and really get started. He said, we just love the Lord. He said, but it's so good to come to a place that, I mean, so many people gather together in truth. You know, we're not the norm anymore, folks. Fundamentalism of the 80s and the 90s, that you don't go everywhere and see people that pack into the house of God that look right, dress right, talk right, and hold the right book and the right doctrines. You say, what do you mean? I'm just telling you, folks that come in, sometimes they come in and visit with us and they get encouraged because they said, listen, there are people still doing it. They said it before they walked away. It's just good to be in a place that's still like it always was. Like it started out. It's still there. It's still standing. It's still studying. It's still doing all these things, and it's not slipped or stepped away from its foundation. Nevertheless, I want you to put down this if you're taking some things. Listen, God's foundation is strong as it ever was. Don't think that anything is lost, anything, just because people are in error. Just because people may be in the majority, if that's what you want to think, in error. Listen, I'm here to tell you, God's got people in every city. He's got somebody everywhere preaching his gospel. It may not be in a building this size, but they're a foundation of God. Stand sure. God's got a witness of himself and will have a witness of himself and a pure church when he returns. Amen and amen. And I don't know about you, but I plan on being a part of the church that's still standing when he comes. Amen. Amen and amen. Nevertheless, strong as ever. Don't get poochy lip disease and start thinking everybody's gone that way, so we got to. No, no, no. Hogwash and applesauce. Let them go. Pray for them. Beg God that they'll see the error of their ways and they'll turn back to the truth. But we will march on and stand solid on the foundation that has never changed, will never change, and still stand sure until he comes back for his church. Amen. Then we see the foundation is solid. So then he goes on, he says, and having this, he says, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. So not only is he's I love this. It's forever standing strong. It's standing sure. And how about this? More than that, he knows. Do you know that even when I don't know who is sealed and who is not? Do you know that's the mark of the Christian? When you get saved, you don't seal yourself. You don't keep salvation. Your works, and when somebody slips and fall away, doesn't mean, listen, even though they've slipped off in error, don't make them lost. Some of those folks are brothers and sisters in Christ who allowed and listened to the vain babbling, and it started to eat at them and eat at them and eat at them until they couldn't stand on the foundation anymore. It don't mean that they're not still saved. They're not the ones keeping themselves saved. Their actions, although I can tell you why I'd love to see them stand. But that ain't the measure of their salvation. They're sealed. God knows who's his. So don't go around saying they must not be saved. Don't get yourself into a place where, that was a Judas. No. That's a brother you need to pray for. Who someday didn't get up and study. Who someday didn't stand where he needed to stand. Someday listened to the wrong thing. Took a shortcut. You ever been in there? Take a shortcut on the day. And maybe I'm just going to turn on this program that I ain't sure about. And listen to somebody never even heard this person before. Or maybe somebody tells you, you ought to listen to this person. You better check up on it. Because what may be somebody that's a good preacher, they can really deliver. You better check on what they're delivering. Because what, listen, just because they can deliver the goods is what you're keeping. The goods, you know, there's a lot of people. When you start thinking about pure doctrine being delivered the right way, and then somebody, we just come out of COVID, you know, everybody knows how people got all crazy about that, right? There was a bunch of people delivering all kinds of stuff, but it didn't mean you wanted it. Still, you know how it is. I'm just going to be honest with you. The Christian, like the world and the crazy people got about somebody that just had a dry throat and coughed. You remember what that was like? Amen. I get on an airplane, I go, I'd try to fight the cough, and I'd be like, like that. And everybody'd be like, what in the world? And they're looking everywhere at each other. That's how the Christian ought to be worried about pure doctrine and what they listen and what they hear. You ought to be on a watch for error. Because listen, you don't want to catch nothing that you don't want to receive. Amen. And listen, if the world and we could be that way about our flesh, don't you think we ought to be that heightened about our spirit? Yeah. About what we take in as doctrine? Come on now. So I see here, he knows them. Then he says the sign for us. I want you to see the sign. He says, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from evil. How do I mark somebody? The Lord knows exactly who's his. He sealed them. He knows who they are. He'll call them home to be with him one day. But how do I know? How do you know? Do you know? When we say, when we give somebody a stamp of approval, I believe that brother's saved, it's because they produce fruit. According to the scripture, we don't think of this as producing fruit. But before a man produces fruit, before he learns how to do that, he departs from iniquity. The scripture says he departs from iniquity. You know, before I ever learned how to tell somebody else about Jesus, I may invite them to church, but the thing that witnesses the most to a lost man is knowing who I used to be. And as I depart from what I used to be and become a brand new creature in Christ Jesus, people begin to see the witness of Jesus Christ in my life. I ought to still grow to be a witness. That's what study will do for you. But the first signs of a Christian that is truly, really saved is departing from iniquity. Do you know that's not just for new Christians? That's for Christians that have been saved a long time. Because God is going to begin to work in your life with a lot of things that he brings. It's going to be step-by-step process. He's going to be, you know, when you start fishing, I remember there was a house that pastor sent me right before, I actually live in it now, but he sent me to clean out the pool at this house. Now, I spent a long time fishing things out of that pool. We got the biggest things at first. But we didn't quit taking things out when we got down to the small stuff. It just got harder for us to get. We had to get some things to reach down and get it out of the pool. At the beginning, when we were pulling the bikes and chairs, and just, I mean, it was insane. I don't know if they just wanted to see how much they could actually put in there. I don't know, you know, and like it was a guess thing about how much you could get. But I'm just here to tell you, listen, when you just keep pulling stuff out, you know, the Christian life, when we don't even realize some of the stuff. It's been so long that we put those things in. Sometimes we don't even know they're there, but this old book, this study, this old blessed book will show us exactly those things that are in our life. And you know, a lot of times we can't see it until we get this one thing out of the way. When I was digging in that pool, I couldn't see things that were down on the bottom for so much of the things that were on top. But once I departed and got those things out of the way, all of a sudden those things were, I could see clearly, man, look at this and this in my life or in the pool. Hey, folks, that's how the Christian life is. We don't ever get to the place where we've arrived or we've already attained and we're just like Jesus Christ. We will be one day when we're caught up and caught to him. And that's it. I'm just saying, but all this life ought to be studying and learning. Hey, here's another place that I can grow. Here's another thing I can get out from between me and God, and we can have a closer fellowship and people can see more of him in me. He goes through all these different things, and he's trying to tell us, hey, there's some signs of Christ in our life. Then he talks about the vessel. He says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. I just want you to see two things out of this verse. Number one, that when somebody is saved, God knows who they are. Sometimes we can see who they are because they're working on it. But either way, in every great house, and God has a great house. He's gone to prepare a place for us, and there will be vessels that stand before him here. Well done, my good and faithful servant. And I'm not sure what else will be said, but there may be others. He says, come on in, vessel of dishonor. You know, wouldn't it be something if that's what we hear when we arrive and stand before the Lord Jesus Christ? It's all right, this is the lane to go in for the vessels of honor, and this is the vessels of dishonor over here. But everybody's making it in. See, in a great house, there's all kinds of vessels. You come to my house and there are vessels that you can drink out of. They're in the cabinet. They've been washed. They've been through the dishwasher and they got no spots on them. My wife, if they got spots, she'll rub them off. She don't want that stuff. Just clean it up and put it in the cabinet for us to drink out of. But then the dog's got a bowl. Both of them are vessels. But I ain't drinking out of all the vessels in my house. The dog's got his bowl and it's his bowl for a reason. It didn't pass the honoring test. And if you don't believe, listen, I'm just going to tell the difference between, you know, the old way. There's some old spellings in the King James Bible, and they're kept there for a reason. Just because this New Age world wants to drop everything, there were some reasons they spelled things in the past. And honor is one of the ways that we spell. Now you try to type that in, and it always wants to put a little line under there that you spelled it wrong. But the great difference between honor and dishonor for the Christian is exactly what the King James Bible left in, and it's a you. It's all about you. Jesus wants you to be a vessel of honor. He wants every servant of his to be a vessel of honor, but the great difference and what will determine whether you're a vessel of honor or dishonor is not the devil, it's not the Lord, it's you. It determines whether you depart from iniquity. It depends on whether you study to show yourself approved. It depends on if you decide, I'm going to stand for the things God stands for, and I'm going to get away from the things that God doesn't love, what he doesn't like. I'm going to hate what God hates, and I'm going to love what God loves. You is a big difference in this honor thing. Secondly, I want you to see in this verse, things that we can take home with us is here. These vessels of gold and silver, there's a stark difference in this verse between what a vessel of honor looks like and the comparison. One are things that there's a visible difference. Gold and silver, and then wood and earth. Both can be used, but one is precious. One is, it looks like something that is desirable. And the other is something that is useful. You say, well, if you're talking about putting all the gold chains, I'm not talking about dressing up and having brand new suits and driving all kinds of nice cars. That's not what the Bible's talking about. There are people that live this life. And you know, gold and silver usually shows up when they go through a terrible trial in their life. When they're tried and tested, you'll find out what that glass or what that vessel's made out of. And that's when they say, when they lose a loved one and they trust God and go on. When a tragedy strikes in the family and they just keep on and the power of faith is evident in their life. They're tried and true and tested people. People in the world look to those people and they see the gold and silver in their lives. They see what type of vessel they are. But there's others of earth and dishonored that the Bible talks about here. We don't know everything that we're going to know when we get to heaven, but there's some things we can clearly see, some folks that got it and some that don't and can get it. The Bible even tells us that. He says, he goes on in verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. He says, if a man, therefore, the great big if in every Christian life, the big if for you tonight, whether you're going to be a vessel of honor or dishonor, is number one, if you'll purge yourself. We were putting in an air conditioner at my house just the other day, and one of the questions I asked, because I know it is very intricate and important, especially when you're changing a unit, is whether we purge the lines or not. Now, you know, the lines have to be purged because sometimes the refrigerant for one unit, when you're changing into the new unit, they can't mix. They can't touch each other. It's like poison one for the other, and you've got to purge those things out. So it's just cleaning out the person. You know, so much in our lives that it's something when we're working, when we're talking about as a Christian, sometimes there are times in our life where we have to decide right now, right here, I'm going to focus on being a vessel of honor. Sometimes we get so caught up in the work of God, and you should do the work of God. You should be a witness for God. But there are times in your life when you know there's something not right, and you ought to focus yourself on purging. You do it in the flesh. When this flesh starts to get achy and hurting, or there's a problem, one of the things that we do oftentimes is find some way to purge ourselves. We find some kind of diet, or we find some way to have, you know, a period of fasting, to work on the flesh so that it can clean out and purge out, and then we see whether there's a real deep problem or if it was just something that was inside of me that wasn't lodged, wasn't stopped up. It's something that needs to come out. You say, oh, preacher, come on now. I'm just telling you. There are so many times that we will, with the least little hiccup or problem in the flesh, we'll stop everything and we'll drink a tea, or we'll do this, or we'll take this, or we'll do that, and we take care of the body. It has to be purged out to be right. But how often do you stop about your spiritual life and go, there is something choking up everything in my spiritual life. I cannot hear from God. I read his word and I don't hear from him anymore. And I need to purge myself so that I can hear from God again. I need to purge myself so I can get answered prayer again. I need to purge the lines and clear out between me and God. Sometimes desperately to continue to be the vessel of honor we need to find out what is stopping everything up. Here the Bible doesn't say maybe, it says if a man. It says if a man will purge himself, he shall be a vessel of honor. Then it talks about sanctification. Here this scripture is specifically speaking, that is, purging is an inward thing. And then this sanctification that is spoken of is an outward deal. Sanctified and meet for the master's use. Sanctified here is just a work of God in the Christian's life. God, you know that when you purge out, you'll begin to find out just what kind of spiritual gifts you really got. When you get completely cleaned out and the only person that has full reign inside of your spirit is the Holy Spirit, you will start to find out as a Christian just what God can do with you, just what you're capable of for God, what a clean vessel for God is capable of. He goes on and he says, meat for the master's use. You know, again, I don't know about you, but when we set the table, part of setting the table and stacking the dishes up is laying them out and not just throwing them down, but looking to see whether they're all clean. Because you don't want anybody to sit down to Sunday dinner that you've invited over and they pick up a plate and say, what is this? Or they look at it and go, you know, I'm not hungry anymore. Because, you know, everybody, you know, I know everybody in here, you know, I had, for years we didn't have a dishwasher, but I had two girls in the house, so they were the dishwashers, you know. And so sometimes those things went through and didn't always get everything rinsed off of them. But I got a mechanical dishwasher now, and it don't do a better job all the time. You know, it don't always take everything off. It don't always, I mean, it sounds like a pressure washer going on up in there. It's working, right? But still, there needs to be a time of inspection. meet for the master's use. Do you know that for every one of us, we're preparing for the inspection when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ? Meet for the master's use. You know, even for us, we'll stand and there'll be opportunities to step up and do things for God. And we'll take the plate. And it's a lot better for us to judge and say, I'm not ready yet. I still need some purging. I still need some sanctification. I still got to work on these things. But I want to be able to say, God, here's my cup. Fill it up, Lord. Use me. Use me for your use. Meet for the master's use. And then this, he says, and I want you to get this. There are two things here. You know, there's a difference here. It says meet for the master's use. That's kind of be putting forth. And then he says, and prepared. I like this. I like how he says it, prepared unto every good work. That means that, you know, sometimes what we think is being in the work or doing work, things that we think of as work, we're prepared to do that for the Lord. But sometimes we think if we don't do a run a bus route or we're in a Sunday school class, we're not a Sunday school class, we think about all these things and we don't think God is using us unless we have a position. You know, a position is just a title. You know, if you're a vessel unto honor, God can use you. You know, I don't have to have a dinner party for somebody to come over. Sometimes people knock on the door and they want to sell me something. And nothing was prepared. We didn't have, you know, they want to sell me solar. And I said, just come on in and sit down. We'll get you a glass of water. Sit here at the table. Now, I want to be prepared for every encounter that God sets up. You know, God's use is for divine appointments. Every Christian ought to be ready and meet for the master's use for divine appointments of God. Not just for the work of God. God does separate some folks out and put them in the work. But some of us, we just need to be always ready for the use of God. Do you know being in his house and being a Christian? Boy, we don't come. I don't ever come to church and think of this as work. I show up and I just want to make myself available for the use of God. And I want to be prepared unto any good or great work that God wants to call me to and put me in. The Macedonian call for Paul, boy, he calls him and pulls him apart and puts him out into a work, really to start a work. Do you know, for the Christian, we just, you know what Paul was doing? He was making himself available. Barnabas was sent out of the Jerusalem church to go serve there, and he said, I need some help. And he knew a man that was a vessel unto honor. That was meat for the master's use. And he said, Paul, I need you to help me. There ain't nobody. I can tell him. He thought, well, I can be the preacher, but man, nobody can teach the law like Paul can. I'm going to go find Paul and bring him back here. Can you imagine just being available and always ready, being purged out, cleaned up, and ready for the master to pull you off the shelf anytime he wants to and put you into work in his witness, put you into work where he needs you, right when he needs you. And then, for those of us that have prepared and studied and, I mean, really given ourselves, God's called us into the work, being ready, prepared for any work, for the use. Always, listen, I don't know about you, but I mean, I don't want somebody that's a vessel of dishonor to be my pastor. I don't want anybody to be a vessel of dishonor that's leading a division, a bus route, anything. I want somebody that's a pure vessel. Someone's a picture of what that person that's being preached to and taught that they can aspire to be one day. Do you know, I didn't always aspire. I didn't look at the preacher and go, man, I want to be that. I started out as a Sunday school teacher. Man, I want to be that Sunday school teacher. Man, I want to be that bus worker. Man, I want to be the bus captain. I wanted God to use me like they're being used. And then finally, God moved me through things and I thought, man, God, I'd go anywhere. You know, I've said it often. When I was in Bible college, I thought, I like dirt bikes. And I thought, boy, God, you just send me to the mission field, some mountainous country where I could only get there, mountain bike and two cans of gas strapped to the back, running up through the mountains. I mean, you know, I dreamed of that. God didn't send me there. He sent me to Haines City. It's got different challenges. It's got different battles. It's not hilly, it's sandy. Right? I mean, it's still a work for God, and I needed to be. I'm thankful God prepared me for this work. Hey, folks, I'm here to tell you, you know, God's preparing you for a work. God's preparing you for his use. And again, tonight, the question is, Everyone that's saved is one of God's vessels, but what kind of vessel are you? Are you a vessel of honor or dishonor? You say, well, that sounds like a camp message, preacher. Well, camp's coming. But really, this is a Bible message. Not just to campers, not just to teenagers, but to every Christian. What kind of vessel are you? What does God want to do in your life? With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you don't know where you'd spend eternity when you die, God knows those that are His. And if you've never accepted Him, He knows. And He's talking to you tonight and wants you to be saved. He died on Calvary to pay for your sin. And tonight He's drawing and calling your soul and saying, why don't you get saved tonight so you can know heaven's your home? If you're a Christian and you already are sealed by the Holy Spirit, know you're on your way to heaven, God's speaking to you tonight. And He's asked you a question. He wants to know what kind of vessel you are. Let's stand to our feet. If you're here tonight and you need to be saved, I'll meet you right here in the front. If you're a Christian and you just want to come and meet with God and talk to Him about your Christian life, and whether it's study or whether it's to shun some things, whatever it is God wants you to do, you do that tonight as Brother Burke sings.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily.
Tonight, would you bow your head with me? Folks have come. Maybe you need to step out and come and be saved. You're here and you know for sure you're not saved. You don't know heaven will be your home. You've never accepted Jesus as your Savior. Tonight, you can get saved. You can accept the payment that Christ made on Calvary for you. You can trust Him. He's the only way, the only truth, the only life that'll get you to heaven, to be with the Father. Why don't you step out and come? As Brother Burke sings, if you need to be saved, we'd be glad to take the Bible and show you for a Bible reason why you would be on your way to heaven tonight. Brother Burt, would you sing?
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, wholly Thine. May Thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know Thy power divine.
Folks are still at the altar as we continue in an attitude of prayer tonight. Maybe you're here and you need to be baptized. I want to give you an opportunity. Maybe you've been attending our church for a very long time and you need to join the church by moving a letter or being baptized. We give you opportunity to do that tonight. You know, you can attend and say, I love this church, but why don't you be a part of it? Why don't you join us as a member and pull with us in the work of God? We would love to have you join and be a part, a member of this body of Christ. If God's speaking to you and He's drawing you tonight, why don't you come as Brother Bert sings another verse?
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily.
Let you be seated. We have a few things to share with our congregation of our church and our membership. We appreciate everybody being here tonight. And again, I had some things we wanted to share. I'm going to ask Brother Jesse if you come forward, you and Miss Hannah, if you want to come. And Brother Jesse has accepted a position as an assistant pastor with Brother Brian Gentry over there in Bible Baptist in Bartow. Brother Gentry and I have been counseling about this for some time, and these folks have been gracious with us and worked in our timeline. Now, we would normally schedule a party and tell you about it and all that, but they're going to continue in the balance here while he's helping there. They're going to continue to help us in the balance of transition there. And so you be praying for them. We want to come and make this aware, make you aware of that. We'll let them be up here and our church come and encourage them in their new adventure. But if you guys want to be seated for just a moment, and then Brother James and Miss Heather, if you'll come. Brother James and Miss Heather have been working in our teen ministry for some time, and they are going to take over our youth department. Brother James will be our youth pastor, and it'll be a natural transition. Many of you are already wondering about why they were going to Mount Salem, and we knew, and God's been preparing this for some time. And so they're going to be stepping in seamlessly. They're already working with our teens, and they have a bulk of them in their family. And so so they're going to naturally be able to do that. Amen. And so if you guys want to be seated real quick, and I wanted to do this as well. Brother John, Miss Anna, if you'll come. And this is something that I have been praying about and something we've been wanting to do for some time. And we have had this in the past, probably with Brother Mike Case, and probably just didn't carry a title. But Brother John is going to be our children's pastor. And we're going to give him that title, and he is going to work together with Brother James and Miss Heather there as we kind of work our young people through our ministry. When we have youth department activities, we're going to try to couple for our families to have children activities on the same night and at the same time so that our families can take time to drop their children off and have activities, and they can both be ministered to, and hopefully mom and dad can go out and get some dinner. Amen, while they're gone and do some things. But even our young people, you know, the devil is getting them younger and younger on all kinds of devices and things of that nature. And we've always been good to minister to our children in our children's church. But they're already working there. They're already working in the first and second grade. But they're going to kind of take a position where they kind of run that department and really help us with our junior camps and things of that nature. And so I want you to be able to, we could get caught up in some things about them talking about they all love this place and they all have been counseled with about the positions that they're taking. And so what we want you to do is Brother Jesse and Miss Hannah from now on are going to be serving over at Brother Bartow. They'll be around. They'll hear him on the radio. You'll see him around our ministry at some time. You guys stay right here. Don't take off. Stay right here. All right, you guys come and stand with them. We're going to close in prayer, and what I want you to do and what I was saying is you stop and fellowship with these folks. You come by and shake their hand. You can come right up here too, brother. And we're going to, let's stand together as a church. You come this way afterwards if you can and just shake their hand, encourage them for the ones that are taking brand new positions and not in our ministry, but in a different way, serving in a little bit different way. And then those, Brother Jesse and Miss Hannah, that will be leading. I'm going to ask Brother Jesse to close us in prayer.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the message that we heard here tonight. I pray that you would help us all to look introspectively and see what needs changed in our lives, Lord, so that we can be counted vessels for honor and not for dishonor, Lord. I pray that the message would stick into the hearts of all of us here tonight. And I pray that we would all go from this place and bring honor and glory to you because you deserve it. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.